The Score Fantasy Football Podcast is brought to you by The Score Bet. That's right. We brought you the best sports media app. Now we're bringing you the best sports book. The Score Bet offers a safe and secure mobile sports book experience with both pregame and in-play markets. But best of all, it's integrated into The Score and our content to give you the easiest and most seamless sports betting experience. So take advantage of exciting promotions and odds boosts all season long. Download it now on iOS and Android. It's available in Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, and New Jersey, 21 plus. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, contact 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, or 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey. Visit thescore.bet for more details. Now let's get to the show. Welcome, everyone, to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone. Appreciate you tuning in today for our final show of 2021. Congrats on making the fantasy championship. Our work's not done yet, though. We got a few more days to go. The COVID list continues to make an impact on the fantasy season. We just got more names added to the list today. I'll talk about those in a second. And that's really why I pushed this episode to Friday, because I figured if we recorded on Wednesday like we normally do, so much would have changed that it probably would have been pointless. So we're recording this Friday afternoon. We're going to go over the COVID additions. We're going to go over the latest injury updates. I have some final thoughts as the main fantasy season's winding down here. And then we'll get you out and hopefully send you on your way off to win a fantasy title this weekend. So let's start with those new names on the COVID list. The first is Antonio Gibson. And this one, it hurts, but Gibson's been playing banged up for a while now. He played just 37% of the snaps last Sunday, was limited as usual in practice this week. The matchup against the Eagles wasn't going to be great anyway, so this might actually be a blessing in disguise for fantasy managers. Obviously not ideal for Gibson. Of course, we wish him, we wish everyone who has COVID, everybody who ends up on the COVID list, we want them to have a quick and uncomplicated recovery. But fantasy-wise, Gibson wasn't going to have the high upside that he normally would in previous weeks this year. Now you don't even have to make that decision of him versus someone else. It's already made for you. As far as pivots go, it's likely going to be a split here between Jared Patterson and Jonathan Williams. That's what we saw last week. It was kind of all three of them involved. But those guys, I don't love the matchup. I would be avoiding them. They're really just RB3 flex options. You're likely going to need one of them to find the end zone to really pay off for you. So hopefully you can go with someone else this week and you don't want to pivot to them. The other big name got added this morning, Kirk Cousins. I'm sure people are going to have plenty to say about this one. He's not vaccinated. He's spoken about that many times. That means there's no chance of him getting cleared, even with the new protocols. No chance that he's going to get cleared. He's going to miss the game against the Packers. And this one has all kinds of ramifications. I mean, for the Vikings, this is a must-win game. Terrible news for them. It's also bad news for Justin Jefferson. Moves him from that high-end wide receiver one range down to more of a low-end wide receiver one. And that's no offense to backup quarterback Sean Mannion, but it's a pretty big downgrade here from Cousins to him. Mannion isn't even off the COVID list himself. I mean, the reports are that he's going to be cleared. He's expected to get the nod over rookie Kellen Mond, but he hasn't had his regular practice time and ramp up here in order to get to the game. He'll have a couple days to get ready, of course, assuming he gets cleared, but not a great situation for him. If you were looking at KJ Osborne as a wide receiver three flex now that Adam Thielen's out, I'd reconsider that. He's going to be moving down my ranks. I'd rather play somebody like Gabriel Davis over him. Assuming Emmanuel Sanders sits out for the Bills, Sanders is questionable. Gabe Davis is going to move above Osborne in my rankings. But when you look at Osborne and the Vikings, it's not just the quarterback situation, the weather. It's also going to be incredibly cold in this one. That can impact the passing game. It can impact the kicking game as well. So a backup quarterback, not ideal weather conditions, I would veer away from Osborne if he can. Tyler Conklin, their tight end, he's dealing with a hamstring issue. He's not really on the streaming radar anymore. I'd look at a lot of options above him. You could take a look at my waiver wire column from Monday. You could take a look at start, sit, stash, quit. I got some tight ends in there that I think you could start over him. Even Dalvin Cook gets hurt by this. I mean, he'll drop a few spots. Packers giving up the 11th fewest fantasy points to running backs. Now they're going to be able to just focus on Cook even more. So just bad news all around for the Vikings offense. And might hurt the ceiling projections for the Packers too, since it decreases the odds of a shootout that they'll be able to keep up with Green Bay. So you got the cold weather. We might just see Green Bay lean on the run to ice this one out, right? And that more so helps AJ Dillon than even Aaron Jones, because Aaron Jones has been limited in practice with a knee issue. So you have to think, if the Packers get up in this one, they're going to lean on Dillon in the second half, let Jones rest up for what really matters. And for Green Bay, what really matters is just the playoffs at this point, right? They want to get past that NFC Championship game, which they haven't been able to do the last couple of years. And if they don't pull that off, maybe Aaron Rodgers ends up leaving in the offseason. Who knows? There's been so much speculation and talk about that. Some people have said Denver could be the landing spot for him. Right now, the Broncos are just in the midst of a massive COVID outbreak. We found out today, Bradley Chubb, Jerry Jeudy, they're two of the names that have been added to the list. Cortland Sutton might be added to the list as well, according to Vic Fangio. That came out right before we started recording here. So with Jeudy and Sutton potentially out, remember, Tim Patrick tested positive earlier in the week. This is just a disaster. Noah Fant, Albert O, the tight ends, they would get bumps, but I'm not touching the receivers in that Broncos passing attack. And we don't even know. We'll see if more guys from that team get added to the list before Sunday, right? Fingers crossed there's not going to be any more issues. We don't want to see any games moved, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, anything like that. But it's definitely possible at this point with that many players in Denver getting added to the COVID list this week. That is it for the COVID section. I know everybody probably wants me to move on and start talking about the injuries and everything. We can start going through the injuries now. We'll hit on quarterbacks first because there are a bunch. Lamar Jackson, he missed the last couple games with that ankle injury. Got out there for practice this week, did not look good. He was hobbling all over the place. Hasn't practiced since. It's looking like he's going to miss another game. I know John Harbaugh is saying Lamar still has a chance, but that's pretty tough to believe at this point. Fortunately, Tyler Huntley was activated off the COVID list, so he's back. He's ready to start. He played pretty well a couple weeks ago. Not a great spot here against the Rams, but with his rushing ability, he can give the Ravens 70, 80% of what they'd get from Lamar, and the same goes for fantasy managers. Huntley is a high-end QB2, QB1 upside there if he can have another great game like he did a few weeks ago. So can maybe give you 70, 80% of what you might get from Lamar Jackson fantasy-wise. Jimmy Garoppolo, he's got the thumb injury, didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday. Seems like the 49ers are just playing games here, trying to make it seem like it's possible either quarterback could start. I highly doubt they're going to play Jimmy G against the Texans. So get ready for Trey Lance to make his second start. And with the rushing ability, we saw it in that game that he took over for Garoppolo earlier this season. We saw it when he got the start a week after. They're going to lean on design runs. So that alone makes him a potential QB1 for fantasy. But this time, Lance has had 3 extra months of practice under his belt, and don't discount what that could mean for a rookie quarterback. He's been running the scout team. Some of his teammates, like Fred Warner, even his head coach, Kyle Shanahan, they went out of their way this week to praise Lance. Warner had, I would say, the most insightful comments about him, though, saying that Lance was too timid when he was running the scout team. So Warner talked to him, told him, let it fly. Use practice as a chance to figure out your limitations against an NFL defense. And apparently, since then, Lance has been crushing it in practice, so really excited to see what he can do against the Texans. And the 49ers might also have Elijah Mitchell back. He's been practicing in a limited fashion all week. Seems like he's going to return to the lineup. And last time he came back, he went right into a full workload. So we'll see if they take the same approach or if they decide to work in Jeff Wilson a little more, maybe, which I think would be smart. I don't think there's any reason in this game against the Texans. I know the Texans, they pulled off the win last week, the big upset over the Chargers, but I think you have to look at the 49ers as big time favorites in this game. You also have Lance potentially stealing some volume, stealing some goal line carries from the running backs there. So I have Mitchell more in that RB2 range rather than the RB1 range, which is where he was before the injury. Another quarterback running back duo with some injury updates we can talk about. Jared Goff, DeAndre Swift for the Lions. Goff doubtful to play. Going to get another Tim Boyle start here, and that hurts the entire offense, including Amon-Ra St. Brown. And you're going to say, Boone, the Sun God, he had a huge game last week, and Boyle was at the helm in that game, so why can't he do it again? But that was with Hockenson out. That was with Swift out of the lineup. In fact, most of these breakout games for St. Brown have come when those guys were sidelined. Now, we have Swift coming back here. So St. Brown, still playable. Going to be more in that fringe wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 range. So he's going to move down my ranks a little bit. I kind of had him as like a mid-range wide receiver 2 based on the volume and thinking that Goff was going to be back. And then with Swift apparently good to go, he's going to have to move back up my rankings. I think we have to have some confidence what we're hearing from the coaching staff there that essentially makes it sound like they're going to just drop him back in and that he is going to be free of limitations. I don't know if that's smart. I don't know if that's actually truthful and what will happen. Might end up being low that I have him kind of in that high-end RB2 range in my update, but I still want to be a little bit cautious when we're looking at him in his first game back on a team that really doesn't have much to play for. So I still think we're going to see a bit of a committee here with Jamal Williams. I don't think they're just going to completely set Swift loose, but I admit that there is a wide range of outcomes for Swift this week. He could step back into that full workload. He could split. He could get limited touches. He could re-aggravate the injury and miss time in this game. It's really a hard one to project accurately, and I'm not going to come on here and just tell you that it's definitely going to be one way when I don't feel confident about that. Sometimes we just have to admit that we don't know, and I don't think anybody knows for certain right now what the game plan is going to be there for Swift. So hopefully we get more info on that before Sunday. We got more info today on the Bears quarterback situation, and that's Andy Dalton is going to get the start. Matt Nagy announced that one. Fields had been limited in practice with the ankle injury. They called him questionable, but then today Nagy came out and said Dalton's going to start. Nick Foles is going to back him up, and Dalton returned to full practices this week after Nick Foles led them to the win last week. And you're not going to start Dalton in fantasy, so we don't even have to worry about that. But this is such a good spot for David Montgomery because the Giants, they've packed it in for the season. They have Mike Glennon or Jake Fromm at quarterback. They have a ton of players either injured or on the COVID list. Kenny Golladay is the last man standing in that receiving corps. And I mean last man. Kadarius Toney, Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, Colin Johnson, John Ross. They're all out at receiver. Saquon Barkley's playing hurt at running back. Their defensive line is banged up. Dexter Lawrence, Danny Shelton, they're on the COVID list. Austin Johnson's been DNP with a foot injury this week. They're saying he's questionable. Not sure if he's going to be able to go. So just fire up Montgomery. Could be a weak winner in this one. Bad weather. Bears favored by 6 points at home. Dalton's more apt to check down to the running backs, kind of like Foles did last week. Montgomery is going to finish strong here. I'm very confident in that. Some other running backs that we still don't know about, though. James Conner, he's dealing with that heel injury, and he was DNP Wednesday and Thursday. Hasn't practiced in a while. Not looking great for his chances of playing. And that's going to have a big impact on Chase Edmonds' fantasy outlook. If Conner is out, Edmonds is going to be a high-end RB2 for fantasy. If Conner goes, Edmonds falls into the low-end RB2 range, and Conner would be a high-end RB3. I would have Edmonds above him because of the injury and because of the passing work. I think they like what they saw from Edmonds last week. He looked pretty good out there. I think they would roll with him as the lead back and not really tax Conner too much coming back from this injury. But my guess is that Conner's probably going to miss another game. In Philly, we know Miles Sanders is out. Jordan Howard, he was limited in practice later in the week here. He's questionable for Sunday. Seems like he's going to be active, and if that's the case, he'll move into that low-end RB2 range in my rankings with Boston Scott kind of in the same area, but maybe a little bit behind him. Howard doesn't have the role in the passing game, but he would be the favorite for touchdowns. Scott handling the passing work, obviously. And if Howard's out, Scott moves into the mid RB2 range, really gets a big bump there. But you'd still see Kenneth Gainwell involved, and he would be an RB3 flex play for fantasy. Washington, another team, dealing with a lot of injuries, a lot of COVID cases on their defense. Eagles should just roll over them this week, so you like the backfield in that one. Kareem Hunt, he was back at practice today. I don't think he's going to play this week, but it's possible. If he does, then we would have to move Nick Chubb down just a little bit. He'd still be an RB1 against the Steelers. Steelers have a really weak run defense this year. Hunt would be a risky RB3 flex. He wouldn't go back immediately into that kind of low-end RB2 range. I'd be very worried about playing him in this game. And if Hunt's out, which I still expect to be the case, Chubb is a top five play. Really like him this week. For receivers, Mike Evans. Now, he's been activated from the COVID list, still working through a hamstring injury, though, so no guarantees that he's going to be available. And Antonio Brown may or may not have aggravated his ankle injury. He was limited in practice on Wednesday, DNP Thursday and Friday. Not looking good. The coaching staff is still saying that he has a chance to play in this game, but in a game where they're huge favorites over the Jets, I would guess that they would err on the side of caution, that they would hold him out. I'd keep an eye out for Breshad Perriman, for Tyler Johnson. Those guys could end up being decent flex plays this week. They'll lead the wideouts. If Evans and Brown can't go, that's what they're down to, because remember, Chris Godwin out for the season at this point. Gronk would get a bit of a bump, but we've also seen that when all those receivers are out, Gronk maybe not the same player that he once was, maybe not able to dominate. Now, it is the Jets defense, so I would still like Gronk as a top five tight end play this week. But just remember that when all those receivers aren't taking the attention away, Gronk gets a little more and not quite able to produce like maybe he was when he was the top guy back in the day. Really, I think it's just going to be a huge dose of Ronald Jones and Keyshawn Vaughn on the ground, though, in this one. That should be enough to get by New York. They're giving up the most fantasy points to running backs this season by far. So really like Ronald Jones, and I think Keyshawn Vaughn is a sneaky flex play this week for sure. Speaking of the Jets, too, they're going to be without Jamison Crowder. They're going to be without Elijah Moore again. So Braxton Berrios becomes a sleeper. He's seen pretty decent volume the last three games here. The Bucs are a pass funnel. New York should have plenty of pass attempts in this game, and they're going to be trailing quite a bit. Berrios even had three carries over the last couple weeks here, so they find ways to get the ball in his hands. Still just a wide receiver four flex option. Not really excited about anybody in the Jets offense, but if you were going to go with someone, Berrios could be a guy that sneaks in there for you. And then quickly at tight end, Darren Waller, he's on the COVID list. Hasn't played in a few weeks here, hasn't practiced, so Foster Moreau is going to be a streaming option again there. Pat Freiermuth, he announced that he's going to be back, so he re-enters the low-end tight end one conversation. I'm at tight end 10 right now, just thanks to that touchdown upside. Jack Doyle's likely out, so Mo Alie-Cox is a deep streamer if you're desperate. He's stepped up in the past when injuries open up opportunity for him, and the Raiders give up the fourth most fantasy points to tight end, so we could see Alie-Cox have a decent game there. And I think that's it for injuries, at least the big ones. I mean, there's a few more. I'm guessing there's going to be more guys added to the COVID list Friday night, Saturday. Plenty of COVID additions, I'm sure, on the way, unfortunately. Just take it in stride. I mean, be adaptable. Get yourself across that finish line. There's no easy fix to this. You gotta grind it out here. If you want to come away with the fantasy championship, you got to grind out these last few days. I've talked about it before. I mean, there isn't one thing. There isn't one magical stat or something that can help you succeed at fantasy football. It's just time invested. It's going over as much data as possible, keeping up on the news. All of that stuff helps inform your decisions. And I get some people don't have the time for that. So that's what I'm here for, right? I get paid to put in the long hours, agonize over every little detail when I'm building my rankings, my projections, when I'm working on my content. So yeah, if you follow the right people, that could save you some time for sure. But also, don't forget, you've gotten this far. You've made the right calls. You probably got a little luck as well. We can admit that, but you've made the right pickups. You made the right lineup decisions all year long. Don't be afraid to go with your gut this week. Trust your instincts. Think about what you can live with. If you're considering a bold move, like pulling a star out of your lineup in favor of a streamer, that's fine. But make sure that you're not going to be furious in hindsight if that star goes off and if the streamer flops, right? Because even in bad matchups, stars can still come through. They can make you look silly for doubting them. So that's one thing. I'd also say, enjoy yourself. It's not easy to make the fantasy finals, so don't just stress the whole time. Have fun with it. If you're heading towards a victory, it's okay to rib your league mates a little bit, but don't be an arrogant jerk about it. If you're going to really play it up, make sure it's comedic. Make sure it's not serious. Don't ever take yourself too seriously. That might be the best advice I could ever give on this show, fantasy or otherwise. Not everybody's going to win this week. So eventually, if it looks like it's not going your way late Sunday, just shut the TV off. Close your laptop. Put your phone down. Go hang out with your friends and family. Because in the end, this is just a game. It's not life or death, though. We do treat it that way sometimes. We're competing to win a title, but when it's all over at the end of the fantasy season, there's only one champion out of 10, 12, 14 teams, however many teams are in your league. So the vast majority of managers don't come away with the gold. And I get that it's easier said than done not to stress over that stuff, because I'm saying this on Friday, but cut to Sunday afternoon when we're all sweating over every play, me included. But I will say it again, do not stress over it too much. It should be fun. It should be a good way to bring your friends and your family and your coworkers together. If you don't already, get a chat going with everybody. Almost all my leagues that I have pretty active chats. I can't recommend that enough, not just for fantasy talk, for trade talk, but just for pure jokes. It's great. I've been on a bunch of them today, cracking jokes. Really, really fun to do. So that's all I got to say. That is it for today's show. Good luck to everybody this week. I'll have updated rankings out on Sunday morning. We'll do that last Twitter takeover of the year on Sunday when I take over the scores account at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. So you can hit me with all your last minute lineup decisions then. After that, I'll do one last rankings update when inactives come out on Sunday around 11:30 or so. And then that's it for the main 2021 fantasy season. And next week I'll be off, so no week 18 rankings. I will be off trying to get some rest, trying to recharge a little bit. And then the week after, I'll start working on the 2022 content. The first edition of my redraft rankings will come out, a long overdue update to the Dynasty Trade Value Chart, and I'll get the usual schedule going in the offseason, right? I'll update those every single month starting in January, and we'll have tons of offseason content, weekly podcasts going over free agency and the draft and all the stuff that makes the offseason almost as much fun as the actual NFL season at this point. So thank you so much for being a part of our show this year. The number of listeners, viewers, readers, it always blows my mind. We just see those rising and rising each season. I just appreciate the hell out of you for supporting my work the way that you do. So big thanks for that. Big thanks to everybody at The Score who helps get the fantasy content out, from our director of content, Rory Bars, to our managing editor, Navin Vaswani, to producer Marcus, who runs the live shows, to the supervising editors who send out the notifications, to the NFL editors who help promote the content, to the copy editors who catch and fix my mistakes. I definitely appreciate that. The tech crew who make sure the app and everything is top of the line. It's just a massive team effort, and everybody does a great job doing their part and putting out an elite product. So really appreciate that. Big thanks to my buddy James Gizzy and his band, the Roxwells. They've provided the music for the start and the end of the show for the last four seasons here. We've stuck with the same music. If you're curious, I know a lot of people have asked, I've told them, but if you're looking for it, the song at the start is called No More Cigarettes. The song at the end is called Leave On Time. I'm not sure if they're easily accessible online or not. I've had the originals in my possession here for like 10 plus years now, but if you can find them, they're an awesome band out of Niagara Falls, my hometown, and that's it. So until next time, which is going to be in a couple weeks here podcast-wise, big thanks to everybody for listening, and we'll see you in 2022.
Said leave on time, my baby said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. I said leave on time.